Welcome to Perspective Transformation with Marty and Friends. Whether you're looking for encouragement, practical training, or clear focus, you'll want to grab a notebook, as today's guest trainer shares rock-solid strategies you can implement starting immediately. Sponsored by WomenSpeakers.com, here's your host, Marnie Swedberg.
Welcome, welcome. This is Marnie, and welcome to our show today called Beyond, How a Bible Study Book is Researched and Written. And our guest today is Cindy Saab. We're going to be talking about the most important factor in writing a Bible study book, how to decide on a topic that will work for you and potential readers, the difference between a topic and a theme, and why you need both, the power of sticky statements, how to develop them and maximize their use, the best way to determine the length of your study, and how and why to incorporate a variety of study styles and formats. Also, the one thing your study must have in order to succeed. Our guest today is Cindy Saab. She's an author, speaker, and intentional CEO, a connector and encourager to others. She loves to inspire, empower, equip, and coach those traveling through unexpected storms and motivate them toward new seasons of life. You can learn more about her over at her website, cindysaab.com. And also, you can invite her to speak at your upcoming event. I'm excited to welcome you here, Cindy. Welcome, welcome.
Thank you, Monty. I'm so thrilled to be here today.
Well, it's great to have you, and congratulations on your new Bible study book, and just excited to kind of dive into kind of what happened behind the scenes of that for our listeners and viewers today. So your new Bible study book is called Beyond, and maybe just real short, how did that come to your mind to do this Bible study?
Well, the tagline is Beyond, Finding Strength and Hope Through Unexpected Storms. And we all have life storms. And as I was going through a perfect storm, three storms happening at one time, mm-hmm. I wanted to record not so much the storms, but how God brings us through the storms.
Yes. Yeah, I love that. I love it. And we do. Like, it isn't stormy every day of our whole lives, for sure. But storms do come and go. And so it's such a great help to be able to know what to do when those storms are going on. So as we begin to think about, let's say that our listeners and viewers today are considering writing a Bible study. So what would you say is the most important factor?
I think the most important factor is that we have to immerse ourselves and the topic that we're writing about, that we're thinking about, in prayer. Yeah. We receive between 12 and 60,000 thoughts per day, and we don't want our thoughts to rule our mind. So as we just take those different thoughts, we meditate it on, and then we can just feel the Holy Spirit directing us in a certain way. I think that's where some of the beginning stages start.
Yeah, I love that. And it's a very competitive market as well, as far as people have a lot of things to make choices between. So having them, having our thoughts ordered by Christ is so important. So deciding, like, you had a topic that made sense to you because of what you were going through. Mm-hmm. I've sometimes chosen topics based on what people are asking me. How do you do this? Or how do you understand something like this? So how would you say, for someone choosing a topic that it isn't already clear to them, how would you say to go about deciding on a topic that works both for you as the author as well as for your readers?
I think start by just doing researching, by looking up scriptures and perhaps commentaries, and then talking to other women. What are the needs? What are some of the answers that they wish they had? What are the things that we keep on circling back to? And as we do that, it could be as simple as starting to write a list. And that list becomes maybe a mind map, and we can just go on and on and on and on. Mm-hmm. But as we do that, we also eliminate some topics as well. So yeah, There's many different processes.
I always like to do a book proposal, even for mm-hmm. projects I'm not even 100% sure yet. The book proposal forces me to, like you said, do some research. But in the book proposal for that, you have to actually find some competitors, and I don't love the word competitor, except that when you have one person who's looking at three Bible study books to choose between, okay, they actually do have to select one of the three. They typically won't buy all three. And so in that moment, competition is the right word. It's like, which is the right one for them to feel the most comfortable with. And as you do the book proposal, you're going to have to go research what's already out there on your topic. I want to give you an example of something that happened earlier today to me. I was wanting a playlist of songs, worship songs on YouTube on the topic of faith. And so typically, if I want a playlist on the topic of, you know, whatever, I just go to Google and I search youtube.com, the word, and then playlist. And I usually get somebody has a playlist out there for me. They've already done all the work, right? It's kind of like a book, right? They already did all the work. Okay. But today when I went to do that, I couldn't find a playlist on faith worship songs, which I thought was really interesting. Now I could find a playlist on faith worship hymns, but not on all the songs, including some of the more current ones. And so I began to build my own. This is what I'm talking about, doing research. Go and see if you were the person looking for a Bible study book on what you're thinking about doing one on, what are you going to find out there? Cindy, can you add anything to what I'm talking about here to just help them understand more what this looks like, this research piece here?
Yes, I really enjoyed doing a book proposal. It was a lot of work. It was like writing another book. But the section that I really enjoyed was finding the competitive titles. Yeah. Because as I found different Bible studies that were similar to mine, it also helped me to really find my niche and find out where would mine be different? What would be the advantage of choosing my study over another Bible study that had a similar topic?
Right. I always call it the hole in the market. Yeah. So, and the beautiful thing is, like we talked about starting with prayer and dependence on God. The beautiful thing is that God already knows what you're going to write. He already put it in you, this interest, this perspective that hasn't yet been approached by anybody else in the way that you would do it. And the book proposal is what really clarifies that for you so that you can know how to proceed as you're writing.
Yes.
Yeah. So let's talk about topic versus theme. So what is the difference between them?
Well, I think topic is just basically the subject matter. And we talked about the different way that we can select a topic. But the theme, the role of the theme is to seamlessly carry your reader from chapter to chapter to chapter. For example, for my book, the theme was about life storms. I mean, excuse me, the topic was life storms. And living on the East Coast, the theme that I chose was an ocean theme related to ocean storms.
Which is so cool.
All of my chapter titles had a theme of relating to the ocean, finding refuge in the riptides, trust in the tidal waves, hope in the sea of despair, etc. And so that was just a natural transition to go from chapter to chapter to chapter.
I love that distinction. So the topic is we're going to be talking about difficulties in life. And then the theme is where you really personalize it and bring it home. I'm thinking of Shannon Popkins' book. She has a picture on the front cover of a lifeguard stand. And she's talking about elevating Jesus instead of elevating ourselves as Christian women speakers. So yes, are you on a lifeguard stand up high above everybody else? You know, and her whole book is about that. In order to be a Christian speaker, you have to go on platforms. You have to actually get on stages. But does that make you the focus of the attention? When you go to the beach, is the lifeguard the focus of the attention? Actually not. It's the beach, right? But the lifeguard has the potential of doing a specific job there by being elevated. In yours, you're using the ocean, the storms that come in the ocean, or even the peace that comes in the ocean to help us to carry this thought all the way through. And the theme, can you think of another book that you've read that's done it really well? Just, I'm sorry, that's putting you on the spot, but
in relation to storms?
To theme. No, just to any theme. I know that was really putting you on the spot. Sorry, Cindy. Yeah. Yeah. But books do this. So one may be about flowers, you know, all different kinds of blooms or seasons is one that we see a lot in books, right? We see a lot of books that have the theme of seasons, and it's walking through parenting, or it's walking through womanhood or whatever, and you're going through these seasons. So there's a way for you to do this. And I love the idea of helping your audience, stick with your topic all the way through by selecting a theme. Yes. You also use the word sticky statement. So first of all, define what a sticky statement is.
I know it's a funny phrase, but a sticky statement is a memorable phrase. Mm-hmm. It's something that it just lingers with you after it is said or after you read it. And I remember the first time I even heard the statement, it was from an Andy Stanley book on communication. But what I did is I actually included a sticky statement for each of my chapters. And before each chapter, I actually have a chapter graphic that includes a sticky statement for each chapter. And so I'll just read one of them. For the refuge chapter, the sticky statement would be, grasp that the God of hope is your refuge in your seasoning of suffering. And some of them are even shorter than that. And I think sometimes that's even more powerful. But it's a statement that really has meaning. It's a statement that stays with you, that sticks.
I think one of the things that's really happened in the past several years that's helped us to identify what these sticky statements are, you know, we used to call them in media, we used to call them sound bites, right? Yeah. It would just be this little clip, something out of this whole long thing that a person was saying. They would pull this little clip out and boom, that was your sound bite. That's what you saw in the news. That's what you remembered out of that whole big event. And now we have Twitter, who helps us to identify, you know, narrow it down, get it short, get it succinct, get it memorable. And now we have with AI, it's going through our videos and it's selecting out what it feels like are the sticky statements in it and giving us short clips of video from that. Basically, I feel like what we want to do is, as we are doing communication, whether it's here on this live or whether it's in a book, we want to have this full of sticky statements or sound bites or memorable clips or whatever like that, that someone can just take and grab hold of that one phrase.
That's right, because it's very, very powerful. And we want them to have something very strong and something they can relate to that they can take with them.
Yeah. And also in a book, especially if you're self-publishing or working directly with a publisher who allows a lot of input, those are wonderful for call-out boxes too on the page, where there's just a little box that pops out and it just has a phrase or a sentence in it. Those are, again, the sticky statements that you're talking about. But these sticky statements, the final thing I think, maybe you have one more too, but the final thing I'm thinking about is, like, when you're preparing for an interview, like the one that Cindy's on today with me, you can actually have some of these sticky statements in a bullet list for the host to be able to say, you know, you talk about, quote, whatever the sticky statement is, tell us more about that, you know, and how it is like a launch pad for a whole conversation. A sticky statement should say what it's about, but then it should open up a whole conversation could be had just about that one statement.
Right, because it could just be one word that you pull out of the sticky statement, and then it's like a stepping stone that you can engage. It's an engagement tool, really, yeah. And then you can start conversations and go a little bit deeper.
Yeah, I think you put one at the beginning of each chapter of your book, right? A sticky statement.
Along with the graphic. Yes.
Yeah, along with the graphic, right? And then I know in my Bible study books, I'll a lot of times have those be the call out boxes within the chapters. Yes. But either which way, it's really important for you to have short, succinct, memorable sticky statements that people can actually grab onto and take forward with them. Let's talk about the length of a study, because this can vary anywhere from, you know, a 2-hour one-time study all the way up to 6 weeks, all the way up to 12 weeks, or even some Bible study books are a year. So how do you decide?
It's a hard decision, but I made the decision that I really had to go with what the reader wanted right now. So I did my research on what was currently being offered. I mean, I love the longer studies of the 10 or 12 weeks. That's my personal preference. But it seems that right now the reader is preferring to have a 6 to 8 week, and I've seen even 4 weeks.
Yeah.
So I chose to go with the 6 weeks so I could include all of the topics that I wanted to include. Mm-hmm. But if you had more material, you could almost even do a series. Like I could have taken, if I already had written it as a 12-week, I could have separated it and made it into a series. Yeah. That would be one option.
Yeah. Kind of depends on your topic matter as well. And then also, are you wanting to also market it to educational institutions like a college or something like that? In which case you need to take that into consideration. How many sections would they want to have it cover? And like my kitchen book that I wrote first, that went into like secular training programs for young moms learning how to feed their children through the government programs like that. So you can kind of depend on who it is for and what their needs are. Again, it's back to that research piece. And I love that you found that it was right now 6 to 8. I used to host Bible study expos. I did that for about 10 years, where every year we would do an expo on just the brand new Christian Women's Bible Study books that were coming out that year. And those ranged all the way from what you said, from 4 weeks all the way up to 12 weeks. I think we had one time a 16 week, but honestly, it's really tough for ladies to commit for that many weeks in a row, especially gals with kids at home still. And so if you can range it somewhere between that 4 and 12 weeks, that will be ideal. And then you have to go with your content matter as well as who your audience is. And you might even check with your own church, like how long is your churches? How long do your church Bible study goes? And it's easier to, if a Bible study group goes 8 weeks, typically it's easier for them to fit in a 6 week or 2 4-weeks than it is for them to take a 10 week and crunch it down into 8. So shorter is probably usually the better length to go with there. So you talk about, and I love that your book does this just amazingly well, is incorporating many styles and formats within one book. So how did you actually decide on your format? Because I think it's pretty unique to what I've seen. I've seen other people do similar stuff, but yours is really beautiful, Cindy, and it's really unique.
I very intentionally concentrated a lot of time on the format of the study portion of the Bible study, because I wanted to include as many different women as possible in relation to whatever situation they were going through. And so I actually incorporated 3 different levels of study. And again, it stuck with the ocean theme. So it's the sea surface level, the challenge deep, and then the ocean trenches. And they're all different variations of study and also time. So if you had only 10 minutes, you can pick and choose whatever questions you want to answer. Mm-hmm. And there's all different types of formats because we all have different learning styles and preferences. And so I included as many different styles as I could and as many different lengths as I could. And hopefully this will meet the needs of more women than just one particular style.
I really liked that part of your book, how you did that, because there are some women who literally won't do a single minute of homework. They will just come and show up. And then there's everything between that and the woman who wants to spend an hour a day really diving in, and she has the time to do that. And so I love that your book kind of flags that this is an opportunity for you to get involved no matter how much you can or cannot do as far as homework goes. Now, one of the things some Bible study books do is they say Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, like that. How did you decide how to format yours?
I did do 5 days. Mm-hmm. But I encourage people to really try to spend a few minutes in your Bible study every day if possible, because that means you're in the Word each day. And then you have time to reflect on what you've read or what you've studied.
Yeah. And for mine, I usually don't do the Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday one. I just take and put a chapter together. And then at the end, there's questions like that. And there's sometimes, instead of at the end of the chapter, the study guide could be in the back of the book. Yours also was included right in the content of the book. So it can be done both ways, whatever. Some people, even if the book is quite long, some people even have a separate study guide that, so you could read it cover to cover as a book, or you can do it as a study with a study guide. So all of these things are optional for you when you're thinking of writing a Bible study book. You talk a lot about stories, and your book is full of stories. And you say, if there's one thing you cannot miss, it's telling stories in your Bible study book. Why do you feel stories are so important to a Bible study?
It's a necessity to have stories included in your Bible study, because it's how you engage with your audience, with mm-hmm. your readers. And I really didn't want this just to be the Cindy Saab stories of all her life storms. And I wanted to include all different types of storms. And so what I did was I interviewed quite a few different women. And then when we went from there, was I condensed their stories to just a snapshot of their type of storm that they went through, so that as people were going through the study, perhaps they could just really relate to that particular type of storm, and that just drew them in. And so I really intentionally included quite a few different variations of life storms through other people's stories.
Mm-hmm. And I always think, you know, God could have written us an encyclopedia or a dictionary, but he didn't. He wrote us a storybook. And there's a reason for that. It's because first of all, God loves stories, and all of life is his story. I like that in English, history actually is his story. But he loves stories. And in fact, Sadie, I think that heaven, from the safety of heaven, I think that we get to see all the stories. I think we get to see all the mighty, awesome power of God displayed on a big screen of heaven where you're watching it, but it was in the past and everybody's safe now. You can just watch it like a movie. But, you know, God loves story, and he made us to love story. And all of us love to read a good book or watch a good movie. And in every single one of those, there is a problem, at least one problem, typically many problems that have to be solved. And it's because we can relate to this, and God is our savior. And he knows that our lives are, first of all, without him, a very big problem. And then with him, we have problems that he carries us through. So I think I just totally agree with you. I love that this was a focus for you to include stories. And I wanted to wing back around to the research part again. You didn't just use your own stories. You went and interviewed women and got their stories. As you were saying that, I was thinking back to the Bible study, the development of the questions in the Bible study. I'll give you a second here to think about this as I'm answering. So like for my own, what I would do is I would gather a group of women together. We would go through the chapter together, and then individually we would all write down the questions that we feel like the chapter generated. And then we would just go through that and say, wow, that's a really good question right there. Or that was surfacey or whatever, you know, it wasn't like a critical judgy thing. It was trying to find the best questions. When you were developing the questions for yours, what was your practice on that?
Well, I had a pilot group that I went through the Bible study after I wrote the draft copy. I'm trying to remember what editing process it was in during publication. Yeah. So that helped a lot, because a couple of times I had to clarify what I was saying.
Great.
Or maybe there was an area of flow. It didn't flow when I needed to include something else and maybe some explaining. So that was very, very helpful. Again, the more research you do and the more connection with other women is key.
The more eyes on the manuscript, the better. There was one time when I think it was for Flow Through Vessel that my deadline was coming tight, and it had all been written. It had all the study guide questions had been put together by the teams and everything, but it needed some final editors before it went to the final edit. Yeah. And I remember I stood up in front of my church one Sunday, and I had three big manila packets per chapter. And it was chapter 1A, chapter 1B, chapter 1C, like that. And I just said, I have all of these manila folders, and if you would have time this week to read just one chapter and give me your feedback, it would just be invaluable. And I tell you what, the book just went from good to great with those impacts. And, you know, it was fun to some people, you need more than one person because some people are so sweet. And they're just like, it was great. I loved it. And then other people are so detail oriented. They're like ripping it apart, you know, sentence by sentence. But all of that input that you can get just makes it a better book. Anything else that you want to share here as we're getting to the end of this interview?
A couple of things. In relation to the edits, I actually went through two rounds of edit, two different types. And again, just like you welcome the research, you should welcome any kind
of edit for sure.
It's a gift. It really is.
Yeah.
And I wanted to get back to the stories as well. When you're collecting these stories, some ladies really didn't want to write it out. So I would do a couple of times, I would do an in-person interview. Other times I would do an interview over the telephone. Sure. And other times they wanted to take it home and give some thought to it before they wrote it out. Yeah. So again, work with your reader and what is best for them, the most comfortable way. And then also make sure that you have a press release form. That when I condensed, I had one for when they wrote the story. And then when I condensed it to a smaller version, we both signed and dated it. And so you need to do that as well.
I don't know if you meant press release. Did you mean an author release?
Yes. Thank you. Yeah.
That's okay. Yeah. Yeah. Good. Yeah. So, so the author release, why you need one of those, and I guess you'd say a contributor release in that situation, is because you don't want to have somebody come back to you later and say, well, I thought I'd get half the royalties, or I never really gave you permission to use that story. You want to make sure in writing that everybody involved knows what their role is, knows what they've agreed to, and that that is all just ironed out. And it's not because you don't trust them. It's just good practice. It's just a good practice.
Well, something could be lost in the translation, how I interpreted what they were saying to me. Yeah. So it's just a good policy to have.
Letting them read the final one before you go. The other thing is, did you do a book launch team for yours? I don't know if I saw you did one.
What I'm doing instead of a book launch is I'm doing a book tour.
A book tour.
So I'll have a book tour August, September, and October.
And that's why you're here. Yeah. And you can do that, or you can do a book launch. Also, when you're doing a book launch, if you can start a bit early with your launch team. So the launch team, you just want to do like 1 or 2 weeks before launch date. But you can do a launch support team. And like for me, when those gals are in there, a lot of times they will read all the way through that manuscript and give me feedback as well. And it is always like, I think if I could, I always say this, if you can invest more time or more money into anything, have it be in the editing, because the editing is going to make the book really, really pop. And it is true that when God gives you a book idea or whatever, he is working with you, but he also loves body life. And what I mean by that is he loves when we work together to make something the best it can possibly be. And typically most writers, most authors are not by nature editors. Some are, but most of us really love doing the story work of it, the research and the writing of it, and not so much the technical editing.
Right.
Yeah. Cindy, congrats on your new book. You guys want to check that out? You can go over to cindysaab.com, and that's CindySaab.com. And you'll be able to find out about the book over there, about everything else that she's doing. And also over there, or at womenspeakers.com, you can invite her to speak at an upcoming event at your church. I know she'd love to do that. Cindy, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you.
And thanks, you guys, for joining us. I hope you have a wonderful rest of your day. And God bless you as you consider writing a Bible study book.